Turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and the fifth chapter. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11, and we'll title today's message, Answer the Call. If you would stand for the reading of God's Word. So much amazing things going on here, and there's some great context that I want to fill you in on so you understand something about your own life and your own journey. Anybody here on a journey with Jesus? Amen. Anybody like to start? Maybe you're saying, well, I don't know. Maybe afterwards you will. Either if the Bible's not true, let's just forget it, you know? You know, beat me up, throw me out, make me get a job selling cars or something. I don't know. But if it's true, yikes. You got to make a choice and answer that call today. Luke 5, verse 1 through 11. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him, that is Jesus, to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we've toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Father, speak through your word, by your spirit, to your glory, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. What is Jesus calling you to? And how do you think you're going to get there? Now, before we get all up in arms and think, oh boy, he's starting some campaign and he's trying to get funding for it, or something like that, or he's calling you to be a missionary and all that, I want to put your mind at ease, especially for those who are of some advanced age and are still thinking, I've got to find the God's call on my life. So let me be clear right at the start of this message. I'm not really talking about some personal special call to ministry or some particular career or school or partner, some specific direction or something like that. Or you've been thinking about this, now you think, I'm going to answer you today and it's going to be God. No. Maybe God can do that today. He can do that, obviously. But that's not what we're talking about today. What I'm preaching about is that Jesus is calling you to himself. Closer and closer and closer. And in doing that, whatever else it is that you need, when you're following closely, you'll find it. You don't have to worry about it. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. Hello. In stuttered speech, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. That's the right neighborhood. Joyful, prayerful, thankful. You're there. You're following Jesus. You'll get it right. I don't follow rules, folks. I follow Jesus. I don't use that as an example to say, well, see, you can't tell me what to do because I don't follow the rules. If you're skiing down a mountain and someone says, don't hit the trees, what are you going to be doing? Looking at the trees. Let's say, stay on the path, then you see big path. I mean, you might look at the road signs, but it's not like, I'm going to drive right close to the falling off the edge. Right? You look at the road. What do people say? Keep your eyes on the road. So here's the thing. These guys were following Jesus, but then they started following him closer. And then they started following him closer. You see, you think the first time he says, follow me, that they followed full time, and they didn't. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying I want to show you a pattern for yourself and your life, no matter where you are. Jesus is calling you to himself, to salvation, to revival, to ministry, to fully trusting God's word. So let's take a look at this passage. Now, when it says Simon there, we know this is Peter because it says so in verse 8. Simon, Peter, same person. You guys know who that is, the guy that was walking on water, etc., the guy that had the big mouth, the guy that was kind of like the leader of the group. Here's Peter. He wasn't the Pope, but he was the leader. He was. And we know this is not the first time Jesus had contact with Peter. Peter, James, John, and Andrew had all been following Jesus, but not yet on a full-time basis. This is actually the third time that Jesus called them. The first time is in John 1, 35 through 42, where John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." And they were amazed, and Andrew followed Jesus and then got Peter, and they're following Jesus. They're walking around with him. They're taking some of their days and thinking, this is incredible. Look what this guy's doing. He's doing miracles. Now, sometime after this, John the Baptist himself got arrested, got his head cut off. And then in Matthew 4, verses 18 through 22, or you can read that in Mark 1, verses 16 through 20, we see Jesus giving the second call to these fishermen disciples to follow him. And of course, they're thinking, we are following you, dude. They do follow him. But they start following him a little more closely. But they hadn't yet given up their fishing, their business, which they still do on the side. How do we know that? Here we are in Luke chapter 5. By the time of Luke chapter 5, Jesus had amassed a great following. Right? They were still being known as the disciples. Some of this was going on, but it wasn't quite like we picture. We go from one thing to another, and we think our Christian life is supposed to be that. Listen, folks, if you're teaching and preaching, and you're trying to disciple someone, and you ought to be, my friend used to say, "Hey, let me see your phone." And I said, how many guys you got in there? 385. How many of those you're discipling? Yeah. How many of you even putting a rock in their shoe, you know, you're talking to? How many of you ever talked to about Jesus? Well, these are my other friends. That's how it was when I was a drug user. I had the friends that knew I was using and the friends that didn't know I was using till everybody wound up knowing I was using. It should be that way in the Christian life. You go from kind of hiding it out to you start out telling everybody. Then your power runs out. And you start telling less and less people, or you say, well, you know, it's just not my call and all of that. Jesus is calling you today. So by the time Luke 5 rolls around, it's a big old crowd that's following Jesus. And they knew Jesus, and they were close to Jesus. But after this episode, this third call, they left their fishing and followed full time. They followed Jesus everywhere. When it says, they left everything, it means even all that huge amount of fish they just caught. Think about that. Now, why is that? That's important. But Peter's words in verse 5 almost seem like a protest. They show a little bit of irritation, perhaps even a little bit of reluctance. He was fatigued. It says he toiled all night. He was frustrated. He said, we took nothing. He was finished. They were washing their nets, it said. So here he is. He's done. He knows when to fish at night. He's been doing it all night, didn't catch anything, and Jesus says, lay down your net. It's like you're going up against Michael Jordan, and he's just beat you 100-0, and then someone comes by and says, okay, let's play Michael Jordan. Right? It's like, I'm 5'2", I'm 55 years old, I've had a stroke and two heart attacks, and I'm a little overweight. I can't be like Mike. But if the coach says, you're still going to get paid, and I'm going to give you rocket shoes or something else like that. See, they were discovering something about Jesus they hadn't known before. They had seen him do all these miracles. They'd seen the changes in people's lives. They see these big crowds thronging. But there was still more for them. He was still faithful. He said, yet at your word. Peter already knew that Jesus was great. He called him master. But from now on, he's going to know that Jesus was God. He says, Lord. He was fruitful. He had been fearful, but he was forgiven and he was following. This is all in the text. Peter had been in agreement with Jesus. And then he was astonished at Jesus. But now he's leaving everything in abandonment for Jesus. The disciples were finally realizing the fullness of their call. That the call was not just to follow around with Jesus. It was to be saved by Jesus and to be representatives for Jesus, to fully go hard after Jesus all the way even to their own deaths. This was the beginning of them really starting to understand that. It wasn't just, hey, look, this is the guy that can get things done for us. This is everything. Peter had already seen miracles. enough to impress him, and even made him agree to follow Jesus. But this revelation of Jesus' power spoke to Peter in a very special manner because Peter was a fisherman by trade. Jesus will meet you where you're at. I've had so many people say, well, if Jesus would come and meet with me, then I'd know. Look, he meets you in the Word of God. That is Jesus. It's not the Jesus himself, the pages, but the Holy Spirit inspired this. And Jesus said that all these are about me. You meet Jesus in the pages of Scripture. The Holy Spirit makes him come alive. And the more that you meet Jesus, the more you trust Jesus, the more you see that even through all the pandemic or whatever's going on in your life, that he can be trusted. Because he's got control over everything. He wasn't saying, see, follow me and I'll make you this incredibly rich, this, that, and the other thing. That's missing the message, man. That's just self-help. That's what people can do if they have money. I don't want money. I want Jesus. I mean, if he gives me money to use it, I'm going to use it for him. Use it, you know, and all that. It ain't wrong. Oh, we're going to talk about it. I'm getting ahead of myself. Peter was a fisherman. He now realized the magnitude of what was going on. He had doubted that they would make a great catch and feared their efforts would be wasted. I've been doing this all night. I've been cleaning the nets. Now you want me to start over? Night was considered the best time for fishing. And Peter, who was an expert, had caught nothing when it was the right time to fish. And so he felt it was useless to try now. However, after the miraculous catch, he now sees God's sovereign power, that Jesus is God, and he sees his own sin in the light of that. Peter's correct when he says, I'm a sinful man, but Jesus has come to redeem sinners. What did we read this morning? I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and I knew that I was disintegrated, that word means. I'm undone. I'm blown apart. Say, oh, I met with Jesus. Oh, Jesus, oh, thank you. You know, if Jesus came up and showed up here right now, what would you do? You'd pee your pants. I'm not trying to be vulgar. I'm saying, when they met angels, they were like, ah! Again, those shepherds out in the field, fear not. Well, what'd you do? You'd run. Now, you don't have to be afraid of Jesus in the sense of, you know, he loves you and all that, but there's people that don't know him, and then when they show up and they die, and all of a sudden they're in his presence, yes. If you want to go to heaven, you got to know a little about hell. And so, here's Peter, and he's like, uh-oh. So we were just kind of following this guy because it was kind of cool. We're kind of following this guy because he's doing these miracles. We're following this guy because maybe he was going to get us out of this Roman oppression, or maybe he was going to make us rich men or whatever and get out of this boring life. But oh my God. Right? And he wasn't taking the name Lord in vain. He was like, uh-oh. Wow. You see, people aren't expecting to meet Jesus when they meet Jesus. The Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus is doing everything right that he knows how to do and being more zealous than anyone on earth. And yet he was like, uh-oh. Why are you going against me? It's Jesus you're talking to. Remember that. Peter's correct. People had marveled at Jesus' power and teaching. They were following him all over the place. Of course they would. If some guy came down here and said, I've got power over coronavirus, and then proved it, he'd be walking around healing people. You think there would be people following him around? Yes. And do you think that the big pharma and the big government and this, that, and the other thing would be against it and try to shut down the message? Yes. Guarantee you. They're still doing it today. Here's Jesus doing all these things and so much doubt and so, oh boy. It's obvious once your eyes are open. So people were marveling at Jesus, but Peter saw deeper that Jesus was so righteous and that Peter was so wicked, wretched. The crowd was pressing in to hear the word of God. But the vision of just how glorious Jesus was had come to Peter. Everybody, when the crowd was enjoying the concert, and he was there going, having an existential crisis. You can be following Jesus for lots of years, or think that you are, or maybe you are. And then their moment comes, like a thunderclap, like a lightning bolt, and you're like, and we read it again this morning from Isaiah 6, holy, holy, holy. They live there right around him, the seraphim, and they're getting that experience again and again and again and again and again. Yeah, that's what heaven will be like. Oh, there'll be no crying. There'll be no anger. There'll be no lack. There'll be only things but joy, but there'll also be this awesome experience of, yeah. Why do I want to go to heaven? Because that's where Jesus is going to be. Amen. The word of Christ goes out, it teaches people, but then Jesus calls some to see with new eyes. Jesus was announcing good news to Peter. Now, he wasn't saying, you've tried that, now try this. Just try a little Jesus. Try the Christian way. Oh. He was saying, do this because I've already ordained its success. Jesus knows where the fish are. He's the one that sets up the catch. Jesus is God, and God's the one who brings the fish into the net. Peter's learning the lesson of listening. And he obeys his word. Upon seeing with obedient eyes the word of God. Jesus is the word. It reaches him, and then he reaches out for help. In the light of Jesus, Peter goes from confidence to contrition. I too saw the Lord. Oh, I'd love to see the Lord. Get ready. Indeed. Peter has what he wanted, more than he could have imagined. He fished all night, didn't get nothing. Now he's got more than he can even handle. But now he knows he needs even more than that. And he's about to get it. Too often we can't get a holy handle on our temporal wealth because we're spoiled with our own ideas of success. It's not wrong to do well. It's right to be excellent about your work. Amen. You better be, Christian. But if I'm looking for the wrong sort of success and I find Jesus, I find out I'm sinful. Can I say that again? If I'm looking for the wrong sort of success and I find Jesus, I find out that I'm sinful. Jesus can bust the nets and sink the boats. But if you think that's what he's about, well, you haven't actually heard him. Silence. What he's about is getting you to listen to him. Not for your success, as you would define it, but for your obedience, which is success as he defines it. Jesus was telling Peter, I could make you the most successful person ever at your current profession, but now you're my possession. And so on to new work you're going to go. He's going to show you what he wants, and he'll give you what you need if you're going to do it. The other things you think you want are what bring the fear when you can't, don't, or won't have them. Instead, the perfect love of Jesus drives out fear, which means that the fear drives up in the driveway. And when fear comes knocking on the door, don't look out the window. Perfect love drives out fear. He's transforming your whole essence, how you think, how you hear, how you see, what you say, how you believe, what you do. If you'll follow his way, you'll see his fish right there for the catching. And let me tell you something. Let me be plain. He is the catch. Be willing to leave everything else behind. But I'm not talking about leaving everything right now and going to the mission field. I'm talking about living your life from your heart with Jesus in your heart. The gospel is not something you do. It's something that's been done. I appreciated that. Let me say it again. Maybe someone will catch that. The gospel is not something you do. It's something that's been done. Woo! I'll do it. We obey because we've seen who Jesus is. And we want him. I want that Savior. I realize that I'm a sinner. I realize that sin has ruined this whole world and is continuing to do so. And there is no political or economic or social answer. There's only one answer, one solution. Jesus Christ, his sinless life and atoning death. And he's coming back for us. Amen. Thank God indeed. You need the good news every day of your life, or you're going to wind up going back to your old dead ways of thinking. You have to earn it somehow. Like you're going to hear the end of this message. I'll commit. Where do I go up front? What do I sign? Where do I get dunked? What this? Let some other church do that and make you feel like you've got something going and I'm growing in the Lord. No, you're not. You're going backwards. It's just what's going on. You don't have to earn it. You have to learn it. I guess I just needy this Thanksgiving weekend or whatever. You don't have to earn it. You have to learn it. That's what's going on. Now see, he was teaching and they were learning things, but then Peter, boom. Why did he learn? Because he saw Jesus and he saw himself. And then he realized what God's love really was. Oh, yes. We obey to the extent that we believe the gospel. Oops. Doing a lot of repeating today. We obey to the extent that we believe the gospel. You don't have to let, listen, you don't have to let your sense of past failure corrupt your sense of new action. Yes, obedience is more than just adapting a stronger belief. It takes action, it takes discipline, it takes commitment, but the Christian life isn't about making promises to God. It's about trusting God's promises to you. What is Jesus calling you to that he can't pull you through? You say, yes, I know that, but I keep messing it up. Well, maybe that's because you're trying to pull your own weight. Trying to lift your own soul by your own strength is like trying to fly by pulling on your shoes. It's the same thing we saw in Isaiah chapter 6, 1 through 8, which we read earlier this morning. Isaiah recognized God's holiness, that's verse 1 through 4. Realizes, I'm giving you a little outline, preachers. Realize his own sinfulness, that's verse 5. Receive God's forgiveness, that's verse 6 and 7. And then responded to God's call, that's verse 8. This text is a good illustration of what being born again and being revived again are all about. You say, I already am born again. Well, praise the Lord, hallelujah, welcome home. But revived again, right? And some people need to be awakened for the first time. These men left everything, including all the fish they just caught. Their initial ideas of what Jesus can do for them were smothered by the further revelation of the love of Jesus to them. He's not just trying to get you through this life as best you can. He's trying to give you a whole new life. Yeah. There's some on that. There's some good jelly on that bread right there. Think about it. Sometimes we've got to realize that we're all too ready to give our lives to anything or anyone but Jesus. We often start out looking for Jesus, for this and that, and that's not all bad, but we need to find out that if we have him, we have all we need for all things. So many people, I think it was John Wesley, Corrie Ten Boom, me. You don't realize God's all you need until God's all you got. But you can have stuff too and do. This encompasses everything. It's about following Jesus closer, about keep listening for that call. Keep, be willing. They were willing, then he called them a little further, and they were willing. He revealed himself a little more, called them a little further, and they were willing. That's the way this thing works in the Christian life. You got a lot of repenting to do. You're a big old boat. It takes a while to repent. I get that. Little bicycle just turns around just like that. Car, woohoo, nice turn ratio on that Honda. Yeah, but you got one of them big, you remember the one that got caught in the sign? Why didn't you just get another? It doesn't work that way. You know how big, you ever seen a railroad car? All right, now imagine a thousand or thousands of them on one ship. It don't turn around too fast. We just turn on the water, turn the light, you know, go to the store, expect something happens to get all that to here. You know that high school kids are richer in America, are richer than half the world. I don't got any money. You got more than they do. But when you got Jesus, right? It doesn't become about money. It doesn't become there is no supply chain problem. You know, I'm about to get all Pentecostal up in here. It's a good thing I didn't bring my jacket. I tear it off, but I ain't got nothing on under this, so I'm keeping that on. You don't want to see Thanksgiving. But think about it. They were probably laughing as well. They're probably like, you got to be kidding me. Look at all this. And then Jesus says, come follow me. Of course they would. Everybody else can be sniffing for all those money that's falling on the ground here, but the guy that's got the money tree, that's the one I'm following. I mean, you know what I'm saying, metaphorically, right? Jesus is the blessing himself. Exactly. They were starting to realize that. They knew some of that. Then he shows more of himself. Then more of himself, more of himself. But then remember John 6. He shows more of himself. Right? He says, eat of my flesh, drink of my blood, or you have no life in you. You think that's something? People are coming up and coming down, and they're not coming unless God and I give them. They're like, well, excuse me, we're just going to leave. And he asks Peter, you guys going to leave too? And Peter says, why would we leave you? You're the ones with the word of life. He is the word of life. They're discovering that. Do you understand how I'm relating that to your own life? How much Jesus has been revealed to you? I'm going to follow along all the way. Seeing Jesus as he is will expose you as you are. But don't fear, you're loved, and Jesus calls you to him. The call gets deeper, and each call brings more understanding of Jesus. Now, Peter was afraid to completely leave something so familiar and start something completely new. So are we, aren't we? We'd just rather complain about the misery we see in front of us and think, and as I say very many times lately, a lot can happen between now and then. You don't want to leave all of our old life behind because we want to stay in control, to be able to come and go as we please, to let Jesus catch the fish while we're still captain of the ship. However, when Peter and when we realize that he has control over all the ships and all the seas and all the fish, that's when we gladly follow. Why wouldn't you? Everybody knows that. The motivation is built into your own persona. It's how much Jesus do you know? How much Jesus has been revealed to you? That's how much you'll follow. I pray that Jesus will be revealed to you today and more, so should you. How hard it is, though, to leave the old life. Fishing was what Peter knew best. He had met Jesus, seen him perform miracles, yet he still wanted to do his old stuff. He lived to fish and fish to live. But Jesus made them fish talk. They sounded out a new call, a different call. The call of these fish gave a new sound as Peter realized that it's Jesus that changes who we are and what we're fishing for. It doesn't mean every minute of your life you're evangelizing someone. It means your life itself is a witness because you're following him. And if you're following him, it'll be just like they said, who are these unlearned men that have turned over the world? Now Peter was going to live for Jesus full time, and Jesus would give him new life. The call to go deeper with God is greater than anything you could wish for. Think about it, the God of the universe. If you don't really believe that, then just, you know, what? What is it that you've been fishing for in your life? If you've been putting faith in anything more than faith in Jesus, you're going to have to put it away if you want to follow him more fully. We need to put out the old way so that Jesus will put in the new way. It's called many things in the scriptures: renewing your mind, putting on the new man, sanctification, growing in grace, whatever you want to call it. It's a call to a deeper place with Jesus, to his secret fishing hole. No one ever tells you where the secret fishing hole is, do they? They never do that. You know, you're really someone's friend when they take you to the secret place, and you're really, really someone's friend when they show you what kind of spice they put on that in the fish fry. You know, you go to I've been going to fish fry since 1972 or whatever, and it's like no one ever tells me what they put on the fish. Oh, that's so great, I know. Anyway. Jesus wants to bring you into that secret relationship. And he'll use you as the line and cast you out into a sea of sinners and bring back a catch. I don't know what to say. I don't need to do this. Just keep falling closer and closer. And then you'll see what to do as it shows up. I mean, you do use different sinkers and different line and different things on your bait, right? I mean, I hope you do, depending on what kind of fish you want to catch. How deep you do it, how deep, you know, what kind of test you got. You know, what, it's all dependent on what you're trying to catch. But when you got Jesus, he's the bait, he's everything. What you win them with is what you win them to. I want to win them with Jesus, so I win them to Jesus, not with a best life now or some social aspect, you know, some civil thing, some political thing. Hey, we're going to do all that stuff. Amen. But hey, this is going to be in the right order. I'm not talking about leaving this country and going to be a ministry, missionary. If God calls you to do that, then do it. But most of us are called to a mission right here, right where we are. Right? I've got a wife and kids. There is your discipleship ministry. You know, I've had a life. My wife is gone or my husband is gone. And now I've got new things. There it is. Show the worth of Jesus despite what has happened. That's what you do. Everybody mad at me because I'm telling you the truth? Yeah, exactly. I need it too. Sister, I need it. I need that mirror. That's what was going on with Peter. He saw himself and he goes, uh-oh. But instead of running away from Jesus, he ran to him. He dropped everything. So what's stopping you from following where Jesus wants you to go? Is it fear of the unknown? Well, Jesus knows everything. I think it was Corrie Ten Boom, twice in one sermon. You don't have to be afraid of trusting an unknown future to a very known God. Something like that. Think about her story. Come on, if you haven't read that. Eating maggots. Come on. Fear of the unknown. Jesus knows everything. And if you have him, you have no reason to fear. Is it fear in other things? Jesus controls all things, and he's the only thing that can't fail. We regret not doing life the way we now know we should have. I got regrets. I understand that. But God has to show us that although we may have failed for the moment, we can move on to the next thing. The right time to do the right thing is right now. Just because we failed in the past doesn't mean we can't walk with faith into the future. Just because other people will hold it against you, even if you get and you're 20 years clean, this, that, and other thing, yes, there are people that will still do you wrong. Yeah. But when you know Jesus, it doesn't matter. And then people that are starting to know Jesus or that do know Jesus, coming back to Jesus, they link with that and they know that and they know who each other are and they ain't worried about what anybody else is thinking. You know what I'm saying? Well, they did this yesterday. They did that yesterday. Jesus will straighten them out. Just pray they see Jesus. That's why you go to church. Not to hear some little guy talk, but to hear him expound the word. Any guy. Anyone. Tell you what's going on. That's it. We may resent not being able to have everything the way we want it, when we want, but God has to show us that he's God and wants to change what we want and the way we want it. I do everything I want to do. Does Jesus change what I want to do? And when I do what I don't really want to do, but I think I want to do, and then I do that, and then I know God doesn't want me to do that, then I ask God to help me not to want to do it. And not just because I know it's wrong, but so because I see what it really is and what it's really doing. And what I'm really depending on, and what these trifle little sand toys when I've got a whole ocean out there. Following Jesus is worth it. We won't regret following Jesus. If we're truly following him because we truly know who he is. We won't fear following Jesus because if we're truly following, we'll fear not following him. If we're truly following Jesus, we'll fear not following him. Because we know he's the only one who can truly know and can truly control where he's going. I mean, we got all, half the people say, you better get the shot. Half the people say, you better not get the shot. Half the people saying, oh, this is the end times. Half the people saying, well, it's the end time, but I don't know how far we are. I don't know any of that. All I know is I know Jesus. And if I make a bad decision, I'm always being led in triumph. Amen. Right? Remember what Paul said, those hard decisions, 2 Corinthians 2? Yes. Because we're following Jesus, we don't have to regret all the other things because we found the answer to eternity. And all the other things can't equal that and can't stop that. Now, let me try to be practical. Hopefully this will help you. Let's say I was trying to make something of myself. And I made so many mistakes that it prevented me from being all I could, should, or would have been. Sounds like most of us, right? But then something happens in one of my failures where I find the secret to be all I thought I could, should, or would, and so much more. I wouldn't have any regrets about all those failures, would I? Because they are what led me to the truth. I wouldn't have any regrets in that or any of my previous mistakes because I now have what I want, and it's in that failure that I found the secret to a bigger success. Failure is the first step in following Jesus. Believe me, you can have all those fears and what-ifs and regrets behind. You can leave them behind, even when they're in your face, because Jesus has bigger plans for you than you could have ever imagined. Now, I'm about to say something. You're going to go, yeah, but that's then. But I want that then to pull us in its gravity. Instead of pushing ourselves so hard, let Jesus be the wind in your sails, man. Do you want to just row across the Atlantic Ocean in oars? Or do you want... Let me ask a captain, which would you rather have?
A good wind right on the beam.
A good wind right on the beam. That sounds like Jesus. Well, yeah. I saw, we were driving my parents up to Virginia this week, and we saw it's just a halfway John boat with three big, like 450s on it or whatever they are. It's like, what? You know, you can be educated beyond your intellect. Oh, sorry. But we do that. We know all these Bible verses, and we don't know how the Bible even connects. Jesus is going to do more than you can imagine. He's going to make you a sinless, perfect child of God with nothing but joy for all eternity. Yes, that takes a lifetime, but it's worth more than your life. What would it profit you to gain the world but lose your soul? What would it profit you to gain an ability to go back and make all those wrong things right? All those television dreams, all those basketball, all those fame, all whatever, no mistakes, everything just right and still lose it on Jesus. Huh? God used all that failure to bring Jesus to you.
Yes.
Even now.
Amen.
Jesus can make us more than if we did everything just right and we were everything we thought we ever wanted to be. Hallelujah. We did a sermon at the beginning of this year called The Time Machine. You ought to listen to it. Failure is the first step in following Christ. That's the way we grow. We see our failure, then we see His love, and we follow along further. You just messed up someone's roof, and you messed up someone's this, that, and the other thing, and I say, yeah, come on over for dinner. Let me do this. Let me do that. You think you got a friend? You think that you would be in love with that person? Now think of Jesus. This was their third call. Jesus keeps calling. Are you still following? You see, you can know the truth but not believe it, and you can know it and believe it but not follow it. Their call was not just to be fishermen, but to be fishers of men. This text is not teaching you that if you really want to be committed to Christ, you've got to leave your job and go into full-time ministry. You may not be changing your physical occupation, but you transform any and all of it into a spiritual occupation. Not spooky spiritual and you're never talking about the football game. No. But whatever you're doing all to the glory of God. Eating potato chips. Yes, I said that. We're all called to follow Jesus full time. The point is about following in your heart. Jesus is calling you not just to be in agreement with Him, not just to be in astonishment of Him, but to be abandoned to Him. To truly trust and fully trust God's Word. And it's time to answer the call. Heavenly Father, I thank You because You bring us closer and closer to You. And You've told us if we draw close to You, You'll draw close to us. And we think, I'm going to do it. I'm going to make this great, today, in the sermon, and I'm going to do it. And then we walk out the door, and it's the same old, same old. I know what's going to take, Lord, to get us to close, to get closer to you, to see more of you. Not some beatific vision, not something anybody else can't see, but in your word. Help us to meet you by your spirit, in your word, that we would be like 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we're changed from one degree of glory to another as we behold you by the power of the Spirit of God. And in doing that, then we follow closer and closer, and we feel you, and we know you, and we begin to understand something of you, and then it becomes something we desire. Change our desires to be as you would have them be. Lord Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen.